Dear friends, as we have been thinking of humility in thought leadership, in the first short audio, I shared a few thoughts on humility, but would like to add a few more thoughts on servanthood here, because it seems that servanthood is the finest fruit or the result of humility. We've already looked at that classical passage in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. And in verse 6, we read about Jesus that he emptied himself, taking the form or the morphe of a servant, of a slave, a servant for life. And we see here that servanthood is linked with his knowledge of himself, I mean, sonship. He knew who he was. He was thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, became a servant, took the form of a servant, and then came the incarnation. It was voluntary. He emptied himself, but it resulted in an incarnation in which he humbled himself all the way to death. And so servanthood means, because humility means death, servanthood also means there is something that we die to ourselves as we serve others. In John 13, which is also another classic passage on servanthood, where Jesus washed his disciples' feet on the night before his cross, the introduction to that passage is one of the longest introduction to any event in the New Testament. And there we see the secret of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. It says, Jesus knew who he was, from where he had come from, where he was going. He knew that the Father had given all authority to him. He then loved them to the very uttermost. Love beyond means, love beyond limits, love to the uttermost. But it sprang from that sense of who he was and identity he has. And in this washing of feet, we see two aspects. One is the symbolic enactment of the cross. It was the hospitality of the cross. Jesus was inviting the disciples to the Father's feast, and he had to cross the threshold, die for them, wash them, and bring them back, a picture of washing, welcome, and hospitality. But not only was it a symbolic enactment of the cross, it was a supreme example that he gave them. When he finally finished washing, he sat down in his seat again and he said, "You now understand what I have done. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." Had he said, "You also wash my feet," they would have been fighting to wash his feet. But he said, "Wash one another's feet." And dear friends, if we are to wash each other's feet, then we have to have that same security that Jesus had, free from the incessant demand to prove ourselves, to keep up appearances, no artificiality. There is nothing to denigrate ourselves. There is dignity associated with this wonderful act of servanthood. And for that, we need to be rerouted in the love of God. And as one person has said, our hostility to God and to each other has to be replaced by the hospitality of the heart that comes from the Lord. Set free, we can die to self and give ourselves in serving others. And when we die to ourselves, surprisingly, we find ourselves. We know ourselves. We accept ourselves. We can be ourselves and express ourselves, and even give ourselves. Well, the Apostle Paul also spoke about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he spoke about servanthood. He said, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake." We speak about, a servant will speak about Christ, not himself. A servant will serve others, but not just serve. He will submit, become a slave to others. What a high calling this is. And in 1 Corinthians 4, he talks about himself as one of the apostles. He said, we apostles, we are weak, we are reviled, we are defamed. We are the filth of the earth. We are made a spectacle. We are last in line. And yet, we are here to serve you. If we apostles are last in line, all of us can become last in line. And so we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Where we, again the Apostle Paul said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. I learned this from P.T. Chandapila in one of his little booklets on servanthood. The paradox of servanthood is that the rich becomes poor. The Creator comes to serve. And we bend low to lift others up. The place of servanthood, as I shared with you what Dr. Kuruvilla Varki taught us, get to the end of the queue, last in the line, least, the last, the lowest. If there's a ladder, climb down. At the lower we go, we are free to serve others. And because we already have that identity of who we are, and finally, the purpose of servanthood is to lift others up. It's paradoxical. To be able to lift one another up, we have to become poor. The rich have to become poor in order that the poor become rich. It may be poverty physically, materially, emotionally, or spiritually. But it means that the rich have to become poor if the poor are to become rich, as we read in Isaiah 58, take your bread and put it into the mouth of the poor. It's not giving leftovers. It is giving. We have to bleed in order to bless. And so, I just want to conclude with one last thought, with a vision that the Lord, which I've carried in my heart for a couple of years, that we will see downgraders, foot washers, risk takers, self-givers, not individuals, but communities of Christ in healthcare. Downgraders, foot washers, self-givers, risk takers, coming down from the kingdom of love, from the top of the waterfall, the top of the mountain, as it were, crashing down, joyfully abandoning ourselves, joyfully coming to the lowest place, and bringing life and joy and fragrance of Christ to those in desperate need. May God raise such an army of healthcare workers. That kind of army will be considered great in God's sight. In Mark chapter 10, so it's not a triumphalistic service. It's a humble servanthood that God is looking for. In Mark chapter 10, most of us know this passage from 35 to 45. We see something terrible. Actually, the mother of James and John in Matthew's gospel, but in Mark's gospel, the two boys, James and John, the two men, they came and asked for the places on the right and the left of Jesus in his kingdom. Just before the cross, when Jesus is contemplating going to the lowest place, they are aiming for the highest place. It's so sad to see the selfish ambition, the arrogant overconfidence. When Jesus said, can you drink the cup? They said, of course we can drink the cup. And the ugly competitiveness that it brought about, even the other 10 became angry with these disciples. It brought division in the camp. But Jesus called them together. And he said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority, yet it shall not be so among you. He was very firm. And then he said, if you desire to be great, the Greek word used for great is, I think, mega something. Whoever desires to be great, let him be your diakonos, your servant, your waiter. But then he went on to say, whoever desires to be first, proton or something, preeminent, highest, Let him be the doulos, the slave of all. You want to be great in the kingdom? Then go down, down, down. Not only a servant, but a slave. And there was a third downgrading step. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Diakonos, doulos, ransom. The ultimate step to give our lives for others. May God raise this kind of servanthood. In fact, we wonder whether we should drop the term servant leader and just call it servanthood. Servants like our Lord Jesus, like the Apostle Paul in healthcare. This is a wonderful vision. Great waterfall of grace coming crashing down. Downgraders, foot washers, self-givers, risk-takers, downgraders, not for mediocrity, not because of laziness, not to avoid conflict, no, but downgraders for the very purpose for which servanthood is there, to lift others up and to make the poor rich in God, in Christ, in life. God bless you.